Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. On Thursday, 14th of November, Pope Francis went on his first official visit to the Italian President of the Republic, Giorgio Napolitano. The last such visit on the part of a Roman pontiff took place in June 2005, when Benedict XVI, now Pope Emeritus, drove up to the Quirinal Hill for the second time in his pontificate. By doing so, he was following in the footsteps of a string of predecessors to the See of Peter. For the record, the first time a pope returned to the Quirinal to cross the threshold of what was, until 1870, a papal residence, was Pius XII in 1939, when Italy was still a monarchy and the king was Victor Emmanuel III. In fact, the first pope to pay a courtesy visit to Italian authorities after the birth of the Italian Republic was John XXIII, who met with President Antonio Segni on May 11, 1963. Located on the highest of Rome's seven hills, the building of the Quirinal Palace began in 1573. First commissioned by Gregory XIII as a summer residence for the popes, it became home to a number of popes. That's until 1870, when it became the residence of the kings of Italy, following events that brought an end to the papal states and the beginning of a time when popes became prisoners in the Vatican of their own will. A situation which ended in 1929 with the signing of the Lateran Pacts. Set in a site so stunning that even the Emperor Napoleon elected it as his residence in 1809, forcing the Pope of the time, Pius VII, into a French exile, the Quirinal Palace was identified earlier still by some of the princes of the Church. Among them, Cardinal Oliviero Carafa, who planted a vineyard in the grounds of the villa he used as his country seat there. As historian Stella Fletcher is about to tell you in her series Tales of Scarlet. Join her as she stands not by the Quirinal, but by this Renaissance Cardinal's town palace near Piazza Navona.
Oliviero Carafa, a Neapolitan cardinal. The Carafa were one of the most powerful families in the Kingdom of Naples. We're looking at the palace that stands on the site of the palace where Carafa lived. The palace that's here now is very, very regular, very grand, but it does actually occupy an odd-shaped site. And indeed, Carafa's palace occupied that very same odd-shaped site. But his palace was all higgledy-piggledy in the way of the 15th century palaces. They sort of grew as the cardinal's household's needs expanded. So that if the cardinal became more important and more people joined his household, then he'd say, OK, we need more room. So he might buy a shop or two and then build on that site. Oliviero Carafa was one of the most highly respected cardinals of his day. Now, those people who are interested in the scandals associated with Renaissance cardinals consistently overlook Carafa because he is scandal-free. He was a cardinal for many decades. He was made a cardinal by Paul II in 1467, but didn't die until 1511. And indeed, on a number of occasions, people thought that he might get the papacy. In fact, had a man like Carafa been made pope, then the reputation of Renaissance popes might be rather different than it actually is today. Let's think about the highlights of his career just for a second. In 1472, Pope Sixtus IV sent him as a legate. He was legate to the fleet that was sent against the Turks. He brought back a few Turkish prisoners and had them baptised near his villa on the Quirinal. Many of the Renaissance cardinals divided their time between their palaces in the city centre and their villas on the outskirts. We're talking about a period before Cardinal d'Este's villa at Tivoli, so that they are smaller structures and they are closer to the city. Anyway, Caraffa collected sculptures. But many of Caraffa's sculptures were kept at that villa on the Quirinal. However, one sculpture he brought here, and he had placed next to his palace here in the very heart of the Centro Storico. The sculpture is known as Pasquino. And it was Cardinal Caraffa who started the feast of Pasquino. Let me tell you a little about the sort of things that happened. The poets of the early 16th century would express their feelings about what was going on in the world around them, pretty much like satirists today. And they would attach their poems to this statue. I keep mentioning Erasmus, and I'm reminded here of Erasmus's Praise of Folly. Erasmus criticizes the society of his day, but he says, "Oh, it's not me speaking, it's folly. Folly speaks." And this is exactly what is going on here. Lots of people are criticizing the government of the popes and the lives and lifestyles of the cardinals. And they do so anonymously by attaching these messages, these poems, to the statue of Pasquino. Now, as Oliviero Caraffa, a cardinal himself, started the annual feast of Pasquino, possibly he recognised, as Pope Paul II had not, the importance of having writers on his side.
That was historian Stella Fletcher telling the tale of that very first cardinal to build villa and vineyard on the Quirinal Hill. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.